Nau mai, haere mai, ki tēnei hōtaka. Welcome to the panel on RNZ National. Now, the government's away for the day ban on phones in all state schools came into full effect today, and that includes interval and lunch. So we cross to a principal very shortly to see how the day's gone. But to our snap panel poll today, do you support the school cell phone ban? Yes or no? And why not? Text me 2101, results at 6:40 p.m. on the panel. Also today, personal debt, putting rent to own homes out of reach, even for high earners. And you might have heard of Be a Tidy Kiwi. That's from Keep New Zealand Beautiful, New Zealand's second oldest environmental charity. They are cash strapped. We talk about that also on the panel. Now, by the way, just this poll out about 4 minutes ago, New Zealand First would be out of Parliament, and Labour, the Greens and Te Pāti Māori would have enough seats to form a government together. This is the latest One News Virium poll. ACT is down a point to 7. New Zealand First is down to 4. So below the margin needed to get into Parliament. We'll have reaction to that later on the show with our panellists, who are Ed McKnight, economist at Opus Partners. Ed's in Ōtautahi, Christchurch at the moment. Kia ora, Ed.
Great to be here, Wallace.
Ah, coming through loud and clear. Nice to have you on. Also, Sue Bradford, a community activist and former Green Party MP. Sue, kia ora, good to have you here.
Kia ora, Wallace and Ed. Great to be here.
Sue, Ed joining us. That text number again, 2101 for our snap panel poll, or you can email me, thepanel@rnz.co.nz. Education Minister Erica Stanford this afternoon outlined 6 focus areas of in education. That includes a clearer curriculum and a better approach to literacy and numeracy. And the government's away for the day ban on phones in all state schools came into full effect today. Not just the classroom, the entire school day, including breaks. Schools that flout this new cell phone ban will be audited by Aero. So will this address falling achievement, or is it too nanny state? Well, at over 2,400 students, Burnside High School in Christchurch is amongst the country's 4 largest schools. With us, Principal Scott Haynes. Kia ora, Scott.
Kia ora, Wallace. Good evening. How are you?
Nice to have you here. So how did today go?
Today went really smoothly, actually. We expected that it would do. Like many schools, we have had regulation in place for a number of years in terms of keeping phones away during the school periods, you know, during learning periods. So really the only thing that was different for us today was the managing the interval and lunchtime component of the school away for the day legislation.
Which is where I'm thinking, as a student, you'd want to rush for the phone, Scott, and check in on your TikToks or so forth, particularly at lunchtime. That was a no-go today. How did the students find that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's been surprising in many respects that the feedback that we've had from students has largely been very positive. I had a meeting with our head students at lunchtime today and put it to them. I said, hey, how's the morning gone? And they said, actually, it's been very calm. And I said, how many phones have you seen in class? And they said, actually, none. They said they reported that their peers were actually quite positive about it in terms of the teaching and learning component. And just in terms of, hey, there are less distractions and actually there's less peer pressure that they perceive because there is now no expectation that they'll be responding to messages instantly as perhaps they were in the past.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? So a bit of a first for your school. Before we go, and actually let's go to our panel and remember that snap panel poll. Do you support a full day ban of cell phones in schools? Yes or no, and why? Why not? 2101, Sue Bradford.
Kia ora, yes, I actually support it. It's as you probably realise, one of the few things that this government has done that I do support. I think it's a great move in terms of getting kids off devices. I've really noticed the addiction to devices, even among the youngest of children, and I also think there's huge benefits into keeping learning and time together face-to-face in a real environment without the device is great for all concerned. As long as schools are supported to make the transition, I think it's really cool, and it's good to hear the news from Scott about what happened in his school today.
Well, that might surprise many, Sue, that you are supportive of this policy. Do you think that it's too, it's not of the government's business, Sue, to meddle into each and every school? Should they not decide to implement policies which they think are good for their students?
The government meddles in schools massively already. And I think that actually some schools may well welcome the fact that it's a government, it's been basically forced on them by the government, so they don't have to have the arguments with their board of trustees or their student reps or whoever might contest it. In some ways, I'm hoping that it makes it easier for schools.
Well, that's interesting. Let's go back to Scott on that. Does Sue raise a good point there?
Well, I think potentially for some schools that's would be a very valid argument. Many secondary schools that I'm aware of have created their own set of rules or bylaws prior to now, of course, and including Burnside High School, which for a number of years has regulated phone use in class. I think potentially where it gets easier is the phone away for the day, inclusive of interval and lunchtime piece, is certainly, I think, a change for certainly the overwhelming majority of schools that I've had contact with, a blanket ban that is legislated as this one is in regulation certainly leaves no room for interpretation, really. It doesn't, as I said to our staff and to our Parent Teacher Association meeting recently, there will be a range of varied views around this in the room about how you feel about it. But actually, how we feel about it is largely irrelevant now that there is regulation in front of us that we need to
Right.
comply with. And so that's what we do.
Well, yeah, a big response and very to this, Scott. Yes to the ban. Cuts bullying, children actually begin to talk. Another one, as a professional development facilitator, I see students use their phones all the time. They're very clever at hiding this from the teacher. In some cases, they don't care and the teacher does nothing. Another one here, I don't support it. Let Kura and Tamariki work this out for themselves. Ed, what do you think?
Well, I've been surprised at how okay a lot of students have been with this. In fact, when I was reading an article online, I saw only one negative comment, which really surprised me. It was from a kid who said, "Hey, I just want to play games on my phone during lunchtime," to which I thought, well, thank God this ban covers lunchtime as well, because you want to be developing those social skills with your friends. And if you don't have any friends, good job this ban comes into place, because then you've got to go and make some. But what do you make, Scott, of the National Party saying that this is going to help lift achievement? I see quite a few social benefits here, but what do you think about, is this really going to improve school test results?
It's a really good question, Ed. Certainly, when I read the research that the Education Ministry gave, or the guidance they gave to the government at this time that they were making the, or considering the legislation, and at that stage, they had considered advice, I think, from the UK, from Spain, and where else? France and New South Wales. And they had indicated that there was evidence that banning cell phones in those jurisdictions improved student achievement. Of course, every jurisdiction is different, and New Zealand schooling, the New Zealand schooling system is quite different to those other jurisdictions, in that we have a very devolved system here with boards of trustees. So whether you can compare one context to another in that way, I guess is up for debate. But it would seem that there's good evidence elsewhere that removing the temptation of distraction for phones for our young people improves learning. Yeah. And certainly that's what we've seen.
Now,
so far.
Scott, you have just over 2,500 students. I think you might be the largest school outside of Auckland. This is what Papatoa High School's head, Vaughan Coelho, said a couple of years back. Look, if you took 1 minute to take a phone and process it off a student at the gate. This is about a big school. That's 3,000 minutes of human resource to get everyone's phone off them in the morning, 3,000 minutes in the afternoon. You've got 6,000 minutes of phone policing. There's no time for maths and English. I think he might have been talking about Mount Albert. But what? How do you take that point that this is administration going to this? It's not going into something else.
Yes, it certainly, if the expectation was for schools to be removing devices from students at the start of the day and returning them at the end of the day, that would be 100% a deal breaker for us. There are 2,580 odd students here at Burnside High School, so the premise of trying to undertake a piece of logistics like that every day and return the same phone to the same student in the same condition each day sends shivers up my spine, actually. thankfully, that's not what the regulation calls for. It calls for schools to prohibit students from using or accessing their phones at all times while they're attending school. So there's an element of high trust model there, where we're saying, right, to students, we don't want to be seeing you using it, and if we do see you using it, we will engage with you around that. And if you fail to take that guidance, then at that stage we will undertake a process of removing that phone from you for the period of the balance of the school day, and record that coming at the end of the day and future non-compliance as a conversation with mum and dad.
Just finally, Scott, does this apply to teachers as well around the lunch break, that you're not allowed, the teachers aren't allowed to be on their phones as well?
No, the regulation specifically speaks to students' use of mobile phones for the purposes of improving learning and achievement for them. The advice that I've given our teachers, though, is to be a little bit cognizant of the way in which they are using their devices, particularly in front of students, just so that we're not creating an atmosphere where we're potentially inflaming an issue that may be sensitive for students.
Good on you, Scott. Kia ora. Thank you for your time. That's Burnside High School, Christchurch, Principal Scott Haynes. Just thinking about it, actually, so it's quite extraordinary, isn't it, really, to think that when you were sitting at school and you didn't have these types of societal pressures, like, gosh, what's life like online? You'd go, I mean, what did you do in the lunch break, Sue?
Depends what age you're talking about.
But say 15, 16?
Hoping to engage with friends. I do worry a bit about isolated children that don't have friends and may depend on their device for their entertainment or company. I don't know what schools do about loneliness, but I hope these days that they're more cognizant of that than they were back in my time, of kids that are really isolated during the breaks. Because I can see how phones would help those kids. But on the other hand, it's good for kids to engage in the real world, which is why I think this is going in the right direction.
Well, there you go. Interesting stuff. Sue Bradford and Ed Knight, broadly supportive of the national government's policy of banning cell phones in school. But here's the thing. What about you? We got a snap panel poll today, just a snapshot of where you lie. 2101 results at 6:40. Really big response. Here's a couple more. Yes, already making a difference to students' behaviour. As a relief teacher, very helpful. Private girls' college already in place, but girls ask permission to use for photography in our class, then away in the bags. Banning phones in schools, this is not going to improve social interaction. My kids tell me their peers are just using their Chromebooks instead. Others are using wearables and tablets with cellular. Will they be banning phones in Parliament to make the politicians more effective? 22 past 6, the panel to this personal debt, putting rent-to-own homes out of reach even for high earners, says Habitat for Humanity. Habitat for Humanity schemes did not require a deposit and offered interest rates. Half those of commercial banks. They were designed for people who could not afford to buy because they were on low incomes or did not have enough for cash for a deposit. But fewer people were meeting the criteria to take them up because personal debt levels, well, they're soaring. With us, Habitat for Humanity Northern Branch Chief Executive Conrad Lapointe. Welcome, Conrad.
Yeah, good evening, Wallace. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, good to have you here. Personal debt putting rent-to-own homes out of reach. So just explain, what are you seeing?
Well, I mean, through our home ownership program, which, like you say, we do think is certainly one of the most affordable ways of getting onto the home ownership ladder, the applications are being severely curtailed by because the level of debts that we're seeing people come through with who are applying for the program have just leapt up. We've been used to in the past seeing around $10,000 to $15,000 of personal debt, and now, in the last year or two, we're looking at an average of $50,000 of personal debt that's coming through applications. And it's really concerning. It's inhibiting people's access to our program. But I think underlying that, there are deeper issues that we're seeing.
Well, that is a huge increase. The average around 10 grand now, nudging $50,000 personal debt. Gosh, let's get to the panel on this. Sue Bradford.
I just wondered, Conrad, if you could name a couple of those deeper issues. I can take a guess, but you'll know.
Conrad?
I think essentially we're looking at what we're seeing is cost of living for people has obviously dramatically increased. And whereas before we were seeing, you know, the general debt is being made up of things like student loans and car loans, we're now seeing a real increase in household items, but also really worrying people taking out loans to pay bills. And just a level that exists that is very difficult to consolidate without a real plan or sort of access to the proper services where this debt can be consolidated and actually start to be addressed.
Sue?
Yeah, I understood that this is kind of connected to the increasing inability of debt consolidation services to be able to help people because the level of debt is so high. It's the same issue really, isn't it? That people are just getting deeper and deeper into trouble because of a probably sustained high housing costs, I imagine, would be part of it. So in the effort to get into your housing or another form of subsidised housing, but in the meanwhile, the costs are so high that they're having to prioritise the rent and then everything else falling into the debt trap. Is that part of what's the cycle?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, increased rental prices are a big part of the problem, and more so we're seeing families who are living, you know, two families to a household is very common. It's certainly through our applications, and a part of this is affordability issues, but actually a part of this as well is people actually genuinely trying to save as well for their future. A lot of people have aspirations to own their own home, and like we've, you know, always done traditionally in the past, try to utilise housing, you know, as not just a stable environment for our children to grow up in, but, you know, as a future asset for our old age. And people are really trying to do that. But the, you know, certainly with the lack of supply of housing is one of these issues that is increasing the rental prices, and people are really struggling to afford that. So there is a little saving going on with, I think, as we touched on earlier, people of what we would consider a median household income. So, you know, we're talking in some cities well over six figures.
Yeah, Ed.
It's amazing, Conrad, that you're saying that the average person has gone over the last couple of years from having 10K worth of personal debt up to having 50 grand, because over the last two or three years, the triple CFA, the Credit Contracts and Consumer Finance Act, was really tightened up at the end of 2021. So how is it that we're seeing so much more personal debt being taken out by people who can't afford it, even though 3 years ago the laws were tightened up? How's that possible?
I mean, I don't know how that is possible, to be honest, but all I can say is that it is happening. I mean, I would say that access to debt has become, you know, has definitely become easier. I mean, it's not just the institutions like your regular banks that you would you'd be looking at here, but there's various ways that people can access loans. whether that's you know, within their own community or with various lenders that do exist. So, you know, all we know that it is happening. It certainly needs to be tightened up. But at the same time, what we're seeing, as I said before, is not frivolous spend for people here. It's actually people trying to survive.
Yeah, now, while you are here, Connor, can we explore just a bit more about actually what Habitat for Humanity does? It seems like on first read, it seems like quite a worthwhile thing exploring. Yeah, and that growing of the rent-to-own market, can you explain what you do?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Habitat for Humanity, I mean, we're in New Zealand, we're a community housing provider, and we work in New Zealand and in many countries around the world. And we offer a range of services that support people into stable, affordable and healthy housing. And some of that's with existing housing stock, and some of that work is directly charitable. But our home ownership program that's been going in New Zealand for over 30 years is really a hand up for median income families into home ownership. And this is for, you know, working families who, like you said before, are struggling to save, and for that deposit, and we can support them. We have been funded over many years. The funding comes in peaks and troughs. Recently, you know, certainly under the last government, we had access to over $400 million of zero interest finance to enable more affordability into that program. And us and a number of other organizations that work in this space under similar types of affordable housing models have been able to utilize that. And, you know, I think, for better or worse, I mean, we do look at, as an organization, we look at this to try to alleviate poverty, just like many charities. And ultimately, we see the creation of wealth as the best way of alleviating poverty.
Right.
And within New Zealand, traditionally, people have used housing, as I said before, as an asset to generate that wealth over time in a stable environment to help you, you know, again, utilize that capital for retirement. So we see it as a real valid mechanism. It has been supported by governments in the past, but there's not enough of it. $400 million does not go a very long way at all in creating opportunities that are needed.
Well, very good to have you here. Thanks for explaining, Conrad. Kia ora. That's Ken Conrad LaPointe, Habitat for Humanity Northern Branch. Meanwhile, your feedback response rolling through about our Snap panel poll today, which is, do you support the... whole day, do you support the ban on cell phones in schools? Gosh, a whole day, goodness gracious. Rob says, no, I do not. Rob's a teacher as well at a polytech. The reason we all have phones in our pockets is because it is the most useful tool. The ban is Luddite. A phone is not a phone, but a small computer that can be used for endless ways to assist learning. It is discriminatory against poor kids whose parents can't afford to replace the phones with tablets or watches. Kids should be taught the skills to use the phones responsibly, is Rob's point of view. So, results in 10 minutes. The cell phone ban, yes or no, 2101.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.